COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, Audi previews a TT-inspired EV, Mercedes taps LG for cells, and the Volvo XC60 launch date, plus stay tuned later in the show. I'll tell you about a program aiming to increase the take-up of electric motorcycles in Africa by women. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. It is Thursday, September 4th. I'm Martin Lee. I go through every EV story so you don't have to. And Patreon producers get the shows ad-free, fund the show, and be part of the EV News Daily community. You can be like them by clicking on a link in the show notes. Audi's Concept C has been revealed. Audi's Concept C is a two-seat, all-electric, hard-top convertible. This previews Audi's next design era. I've got to say, I think it looks fantastic, but design is subjective. And it will head to production as the spiritual successor to the world famous Audi TT, but it won't use the TT name. This isn't a TT reboot exactly. It's a brand new, all-electric, two-seater. It comes with a retractable hardtop and a midships battery layout for lower seating, aimed at a gap that Audi says is there with EV sports cars. The original TT arrived back in 1998. I owned one. The lower-powered 180 brake horsepower and a beautiful, absolutely beautiful car. What was I doing owning one of those when I was just a wee nipper back in the 1990s, I guess? No kids and had money to spend on cars, I guess. The Concept C nods to the icon. It introduces Audi's new vertical frame face and a four-element light signature inside. Physical controls remain alongside a fold-away display, keeping the focus on driving rather than screens. I love this, by the way. Any move that we can do away from just massive slabs of glass inside driver's cars or luxury cars as well. There's got to be a better way of doing it. Expect the production car to share fundamentals with Porsche's new electric 718, with a layout that stacks the battery centrally behind the seats to mimic mid-engined balance and enable a much lower driving position. Audi says this isn't just some sort of design concept. This is going into production in 2027. The CEO, Gernot Döllner, is clear on branding. The Concept C is not a successor to the TT. It sits between the TT and an Audi R8. This thing looks proper special. Brilliant. What an Audi. Going out on a bit of a limb with this one, but saying it will go into production. Let's move on. LG Energy Solution has signed agreements to deliver 107 gigawatt hours of cells to Mercedes. That's enough to power, well, you know, plus or minus, about 1.5 million electric Mercedes-Benz. New filings today show that LG will supply Mercedes-Benz AG with 32 gigawatt hours in Europe from August in 2028 to December 2035, and also supply their US affiliate from July 29 through to December 37. So these are big long-term plans. I say it all the time, the car industry works on timelines like this. It's their bread and butter. And the move to EV, no wonder it scared the wits out of everybody because it happened so quickly. The two contracts are worth $10.7 billion on basing an assumed price of $100 per kilowatt hour for cylindrical cells, these 46 series. LG plans to start mass producing next generation cylindrical batteries next year at their Arizona plant under construction. In October last year, LG separately agreed to provide 50 gigawatt hours for North America and other markets between, again, 2028 and 2038. Mercedes previously sourced extensively from the Chinese, CATL, Farasis as well, to bring costs down. Now tapping up the Koreans. Okay, let's talk about a really important electric vehicle, Pure EV, for Volvo. And that's the EX60. Doesn't exist at the minute, but it will do. And I'll tell you why it's important in a minute. Volvo will unveil the EX60, the family SUV. They'll do it in Stockholm. They'll do it on 21st of January, 2026. The date's in the diary because they're counting down to it. The company calls it a cornerstone of the lineup. 435 miles of range is the target. That's 700 kilometers. Production will start in Gothenburg in the first half of the year. A preview silhouette shows proportions like the XC60. Why would you change a winning formula? The front has narrow headlights with the brand's Thor's Hammer signature like the EX90. And I say winning formula because, look, the XC60 is not just their best-selling vehicle, it's their best-selling vehicle of all time as Volvo. It just tipped over that. And so the EX60, when it goes electric, doesn't have to be good. It has to be brilliant. This is the vehicle Volvo need to work. Using the SPA3 platform, a successor to the architecture underneath the EX90 and AES90, the SPA3 platform is designed to support smaller and larger models of electric vehicles. They call it 100% electric and 100% Volvo. I wonder if they've had some, I don't know, market research or customer insight or something saying Volvo owners are, you know, put off by the Geely parent company shared architectures that sit underneath things like Polestars that have been wobbly, I would say. Fine for China, but some of the autonomy and some of the software stuff with those early Polestars on the shared platforms needed some dialing out and some tweaking. It sounds like it's all sorted out at the moment, but Volvo saying this is 100% Volvo. It distinguishes it from a Geely platform like the SEA platform, which is underneath the EX30, of course, another vehicle that Volvo didn't get right when they launched it. That vehicle was not fully baked. Rushed? I don't know. But software updates over a period of months and maybe up to the first year of that car being out took it to get properly sorted. The EX60 will be designed for mega casting with the SPA3 platform, which is large body sections produced in single pieces. Okay, Volkswagen is next in the news after Volvo. And Volkswagen have done the unthinkable. I'm only joking. This is great news, by the way. Volkswagen is going back to naming their vehicles. Now, for a long-time listener of the podcast, firstly, my commiserations. Why do you do this to yourself? However, if you're a long-time listener of the podcast, you'll know that for years I've been talking about the balance between established car makers having to tread that fine line. Do they reinvent themselves? Do they have new names? Do they lean into the old names? How do you compete with Chinese startups? Do you lean into your heritage? And I've for a long time been saying, of all the pros and cons of having a fresh start, and goodness, with after Dieselgate, did VW need a fresh start? I really think that the ID thing was perhaps a mistake. Idiot podcaster here seems to agree with the top brass at Volkswagen because they're going back to names. The plan will start with what was previously called the ID2 All. It launches next year, and the Polo is back, which is brilliant. It's still going to be called the ID Polo because, as I've said as well many times, big companies don't like admitting mistakes. And so to go, look, the ID thing was an error, so they've fudged it. It's not called the Polo or the Polo Electric or just the Polo. It's called the ID Polo, which is I don't know. It seems like a fudge, a nod to, yeah, the ID thing we really believe in. But I don't know. They tried it. I wouldn't have worried about it. I like names for cars. And if you've got names like Golf, Polo, Passat, Tiguan in your locker, I mean, hell's bells, Volvo, lean into that. Early Volkswagen EVs were called the Golf and the Up. E-Golf, E-Up, admittedly. And then they went all in with all ID. But don't know. They also changed, maybe it wasn't the name, they also changed the look of the cars. And so their EVs are going back to looking like Volkswagens as well. Confirming the GTI badge will return, replacing GTX. Because, yes, you got GTI in your locker. Use it. I love this. This is absolutely common sense. I think this will drive the next phase of EV adoption for people who want, you know, they've had several Golfs. We've owned several Golfs who just want the next Golf. Oh, it's got batteries. That's a cool thing. Right, let's talk Norway. Norway EVs, 97% if you're thinking about August's number. Now in the books, 13,915 vehicles were sold in Norway last month. How many were electric? 13,482. Yes, there's less than 500 vehicles now that weren't all electric in Norway. And when I say EV, I mean pure BEV when I talk about Norway. Plug-in hybrids are a proportion. A little bit of petrol and a little bit of diesel, but otherwise nothing really to write home about. 97% pure BEV. Who led the way? Tesla, actually, with the Model Y. They needed a good month. I mean, Norway's not a big car market. You know, Tesla is desperate for a good month in, well, anywhere like Germany, UK, France, but big car markets. But they'll take Norway. They'll absolutely take Norway. 17% of the entire car market was Tesla Model Y, followed by VW ID4, then ENIAC from Skoda, ID3, ID7, Elroq, EX30, iX1, and the BYD C-Line 7 rounding out the top 10. Now, Ford is looking at adding a plug-in hybrid version of the Ranger MSRT, selling it in Europe. The MSRT is M Sport Road Technology. So M Sport, an offshoot of Ford's rally partner, M Sport. The Ranger MSRT is a plug-in hybrid, honeycomb grille, new front splitter, sporty visuals as well, 4 centimetres lower, 40 mil lower, or 1.57 inches. The plug-in hybrid will have a 2.3-litre turbocharged EcoBoost engine, a 12 kilowatt hour battery, so not very big, and a 75 kilowatt electric motor, so not really strong electric specs. And a pretty, actually, these days, that's a tiddly battery, isn't it, on a vehicle as big as a Ford Ranger? But anyway, maybe you think the Ford Rangers are not a big vehicle. It's big over here. Power goes to all four wheels via a 10-speed auto box and a full-time four-wheel drive system. Only 40 miles rated electric, and that gets eaten into if you start using a Ranger for worky stuff. European order books open this year, deliveries next year. Stick around. New Bolt has been spied. I'll tell you what the inside looks like. Tesla's Master Plan 4 and Toyota building a factory in Europe for a new EV. Those stories and more. Stick around. Back in a mo.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
All right, welcome back to the podcast. Now, General Motors just brought back the Chevrolet Bolt after killing it in 2023. And now new spy shots reveal what's inside the cabin. The redesigned interior show GM learned from customer complaints about the original, the old 8-inch gauge cluster in a chunky housing with a 10.2-inch center screen. That's all gone. New Bolt gets much bigger displays. The instrument cluster now uses a larger rectangular format like you'd find in an Equinox. That makes sense. New dashboard, ditching the old button-style gear selector. A stalk behind the steering wheel is the new gear selector. Center console has a proper cup holder and armrest rather than the old design. The climate controls get an upgrade too. Rather than being buried in a touchscreen, GM looks like they've got physical buttons and dials below the display, looking identical to the actually a GMC Canyon, if you are familiar with that. A spy photo of the instrument cluster did show 194 miles, and the battery was 100% full. Now the old Bolt was 259. So why has the new Bolt got 65 fewer miles? There is no way of saying this is a test vehicle. This vehicle could have just been sitting with the air conditioning on. That's going to affect the algorithm for the range. It could have been, I don't know, doing some performance testing. That's going to hit the range. But either way, 100% charge, less than 200 miles. They would not want that photo have been leaking out today. The return of the Bolt means GM isn't abandoning affordable cars. They obviously make premium Cadillacs and Lyriq and Sierra EVs, and the Bolt used to be a $27,000 vehicle, and I'm pleased it's coming back because it does certainly, you know, scratch that itch for cheaper vehicles. Now, Elon Musk's master plans have long guided Tesla's strategy. For many people, early supporters of the business, one of the things they could really understand about Tesla being a mission-driven company, it's one of the things that I understood when I read the master plan, that I think that master plan 1 and 2, Elon Musk, it's said he wrote himself. No way of proving it, but why would we not believe that? I mean, they're not War and Peace, so why wouldn't the chap have written them? But they really communicated the mission of Tesla so clearly, very specifically as well. The first one was 2006, and at that time, he was just an investor in the company. And he talked about how an electric sports car would be followed by affordable cars. Part deux in 2016 added autonomy and a bit more as well. Part three, which was three years ago, it was March 2023, wasn't it? Part three talked about sustainability. Tesla made it much more of a company mission in terms of they presented it on stage. It was well thought out. They followed it up with, it accompanied a big white paper as well of how they'll do this. They presented it with managers on stage, that kind of thing. They wanted to add a lower cost compact version below the 3 than the Y, but that was ditched, obviously, by Elon Musk. And now part 4 has come very quickly after part 3. This talks about accelerating the shift to sustainable energy. They say, and I quote, "Our desire is to push beyond what is considered achievable. We'll foster the growth needed for truly sustainable abundance." And it does, it's very fluffy. Now, if you've read the criticism aimed at it, then it's not as clear as the previous plans. This one, sort of written by, very high level thinking, aims, aspirations, that kind of thing. No concrete steps, as it were. So it's had some pushback, I think, from people who read it and were like, "What's this? This reads like a, you know, kind of corporate speak, kind of woolly, fluffy thing." But have a look for yourself and see what you think. There's bits of it that remind me of a high school student that's just found the thesaurus button, or the episode of Friends where Joey finds the thesaurus, and they just use unnecessary words. But I don't know. I don't want to go too hard in because people think I criticize Tesla too much these days, but it didn't really float my boat, didn't do too much for me. But have a look now. Toyota's first Europe-made BEV will be built in Czechia. Toyota will build their battery electric vehicle for Europe at its Czech Republic plant with the Czech government. It will expand production lines and battery assembly. They're investing 680 million euros and some state money coming in as well. They didn't disclose the start of production. They currently make the Aygo there and the Yaris in Czech Republic. And they're going to make their first Europe-destined EV from Toyota there. The Škoda EVs are now eligible for some UK grant money. The £1,500 goes towards the LROX, So the Elroq SE, SEL Edition Sportline as well, with the 82 kilowatt hour battery. That's 355 miles of range in the Elroq. And so they get that. Apart from the expensive one, which is the Elroq VRS, which is now higher than the new upper tier, which is £42,000. So it doesn't get the money off. Zaptec is a charging company, or charge maker over here, EVSE maker, I should say, releasing the new Go 2 hardware. They say it's the first vehicle-to-grid ready AC charger in the UK, designed to meet residential and commercial use. Has a built-in screen anticipating forthcoming rules on energy metering for billing and salary sacrifice. Connectivity includes 4G and OCPP compliance. It's solar ready. Energy management apps like EV.energy. There's a three-phase 22 kilowatts version supporting ISO 15118 for plug and charge and bi-directional communication as well. Not that you can buy it today and immediately just do vehicle to grid, but there's a lot of bits to join up, but that's a good bit of news. And finally, motorcycles are central to many bits of urban transport around the world, particularly Africa. More than 20 million are in use, most running on petrol. Riders are men. In Uganda, women account for less than 1% of motorcycle taxi operators. A new project in Kenya and Uganda, funded by the German Federal Ministry for Economic Cooperation, has trained more than 100 women as electric motorcycle operators, mechanics, and entrepreneurs. This aim is to cut pollution and expand economic opportunities. Training also covers maintenance of solar panels and repairing EV charging infrastructure. Demand for motorcycles is rising in Africa, and Kenya and Uganda are targeting this with electric models. It's amazing that there's so many motorcycles there. There's a lot of sunshine, and yet less than 1% of African motorcycles are electric. Sales are rising, and they're rising very quickly. Zembo is an electric motorcycle maker. They report that riders can save $500 equivalent per year on fuel just by charging on the sun. Amazing projects happening all around with electric vehicles, all around the world. And so many of these projects come across my desk every day. Inevitably, for timing, we don't get to talk about everything. But I wanted to include that today. Just an example of how electric vehicles are touching so many bits of our lives around the world as well. And that's your podcast for today. Thanks to our premium partners for getting the show on the air. Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse Global Public Charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.